Okay, let's get ready for a morning of worship. We have a lot I want to cover this morning. So let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is very important. It's time to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. This morning in the 9:15 class, we're studying knowing God. How vital it is to correctly know God. People have a false gospel. A gospel of works, you can lose your salvation, Calvinism, on and on and on. They do not know God. People have a false view of spirituality. They do not know God. People have a false view of the Christian life. They do not know God. You have to correctly know God. And God has made himself known in his word. And he's given to us in the church age the system of doing this in a local church. It amazes me. How many people, well, I went to school. I don't want to go to church to think and study and learn and take notes and do all that. Wait a minute. You went to school to learn so that when you graduated, you get a decent job maybe. Well, you go to church so that you can worship God correctly, maybe. So this is what the church is about. It's a place to study God's word. And unfortunately, most people don't want that. So let's be sure you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Father, how grateful we are for the God that you are. Sovereign, omnipotent, and yet you've made yourself known to us that we can have a personal, intimate relationship with you. Father, how grateful we are that we can know you, that we can have an intimate, joyful time with you, Father. And now, Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, in 1792, the death of Edward Pursnott, died that day in January the 2nd, 1792. But in his life, he wrote a wonderful old hymn, over 200 years old, and I think it's still a wonderful hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. So let's start. What, there are two versions of that, and I don't know which one we sing. Do you know? 40? So let's turn to hymn number 40, and it's just a wonderful hymn, but it survived 200 years. So let's stand and pay attention to what you're singing. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Oh, y'all want me out of here? All right.
With yonder sacred song we ask. join the everlasting song. Come in, Lord of all.
Before you put away your hymnals, turn to hymn number 41. I want to tell you something about this. I don't know if it's still done at Dallas Seminary, but when I was there, it was just an all-male school, and there were under 500 men there, and every day in chapel, but occasionally, this was the theme of the Dallas Seminary at that time. And if you can just imagine some 500 male voices, look at the chorus, and crown him, and of course a lot of them would go, crown him, and crown him. Anyway, it was beautiful. Yeah, you had to be there. It was... Huh?
We sang it at a graduation there.
Did you?
Yeah,
10 years ago. Did you? Good. All right. And but it just woke you up in morning chapel when we sang that one. It just, yes. Yeah, ready. I'll like Hebrew today. I'll like Greek today. And so it was really, really wonderful. Okay, let's talk about some prayer things. First of all, please be in prayer for Jim Langston. He's not doing well at all. He's got a doctor's appointment tomorrow, and just pray that they can find out what's going on with him. Can you give us a further report? No sleep. So please be in prayer today for tomorrow with the doctor, that the wisdom of the doctor dealing with the human body, the way God made the body, that his body will respond to things that they will want to do and should do for Jim Langston. So please be in prayer. Okay. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
Tomorrow at 7 a.m. I'm going to have my surgery on the arm, on my left arm.
On your arm?
Yeah, for the lipoma. It's a day surgery, but I will be out for a week. So thank goodness that we got kids practicing, and hopefully Gigi can get up today very soon. Just pray for the internet ministry.
I do that all the time, but I will be in prayer for tomorrow morning, absolutely. Now, any other? Yes, Terry.
Keep my brother Bobby in your prayers. He's just not getting better. He's suffering through depression. It's really tough on his wife and all of us watching him. He's starting therapy tomorrow, group session therapies, and they've increased his medications, and it's just, we don't know.
Is he responding in therapy at all?
Well, he's starting the group therapy.
Okay.
Okay, so he went to a facility for a week, and he came out, seemed a little better, but now he's just going backwards again. So We're hoping that therapy's going to help.
Please be in prayer for Terry's brother, Bobby.
We just know
patience for his wife.
Pray for Jerry Lee.
Peace for his father.
And for his father, Johnny. Okay. Please be in prayer for the whole family that works with Bobby and these things. Yes?
Jazz, God is working to answer prayer, and please continue prayer. But Jazz, that came into church, they did evict her from her apartment. She called, they were putting stuff outside in the parking lot the other day. She called and asked if she remembered Chris had a truck. We were able to get her stuff, but I'm saying answered prayer because, y'all, we talked to Karen, Teresa, and Sheila's aunt. You remember their house burned down a year ago?
Yes.
Years ago, and we were able to help support them get back in prayer. Well, we talked to Karen, and Karen said, you tell her to come live with us right now. We'll get a 30-day plan. We'll get a 3-month plan. She can come to church with us, pray with us. Mm-hmm. She's already moved in with them. It was just amazing to see how God is using Karen in her life and just using how he's using all of us to answer that prayer. And you remember how positive she was when she was here? I know God's in control. Mm-hmm. She has her 2 jobs. It just overwhelmed her and hit her, and she said, you know, I trust God in this, but I really thought he was going to keep that apartment for me. So when it kind of fell apart and overwhelmed her, and, you know, Karen, Teresa, Sheila, they're all praying with her and saying, God has a plan and a purpose for this, and you are part of this family. You are part of God's family, and just seeing how God is using that challenge in her life to bring her into his family and just show her his love and power. But continue to pray. She's looking for a home right now. She does have a full-time job. She does know how to get around on the buses. Like Karen said, I'm hearing all these blessings that God has given you. You know, there's nothing that It's not going to keep you from moving forward. So her name is Jazz. Keep praying for her.
Okay. Please be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? Tell us about last night. I missed it. Not because I didn't want to be there. I was driving all over Lake Levan. I can take you places you probably haven't been around Lake Levan.
I don't want to.
You don't want to know.
We had a planning session celebration last night for Liberty Youth Camp, Liberty Youth Center. So we had all of the young staff that wanted to come be a part of planning for this next summer at the camp location and everything came over last night to the camp, which is out in Princeton, not Frisco. We had more than one person that ended up in Frisco last night. So
that makes me feel not quite as bad.
It's the GPS. I'm telling you, it's in Frisco.
I understand, but it's not in Frisco. So it was awesome. We had a great time of celebrating, of running around the new camp, and they were getting excited about the new facility. Positive feedback across the board from all of the folks that were there, that they thought the camp was really nice and really neat, and we're going to have a great time there. We did some great planning, and then we had a wonderful fellowship time with some of the staff that have been a part before and still are a part. And we had some fun and did some memories and laughed and carried on. You guys want to add anything?
The only thing I think that I'm sure you guys have the feel that this is the younger staff, but there were 35 people there. All of them except six of us were 21 or 25 or younger.
Wow, that's so good.
And these people didn't just say, hey, let's come out and have some food. I mean, they've already signed up to be staff. They've already filled out their application that they
wow.
are staff. And we just sat back and watched God use them to do what He's got planned for us for the summer.
Ryan, did you enjoy it?
Pardon? Oh, Ryan?
I wasn't there.
Yeah. You didn't go? Oh, my.
She's not staff.
She's not staff.
Right. You'll be staff soon.
18 and older staff, Herman.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry
about your age.
We have several seniors that have graduated yet already committing to be staff next
year. Wow. That is so good.
So.
Wow.
And see, keep praying for that. Sorry, did I catch up?
No.
Keep praying for that ministry. God is doing crazy, wonderful things. And a specific prayer request, please pray for our friend Nick Forrester. He's going through some challenges, just personal things that he needs to work through, but he's part of our staff family, and we just love for us to continue to pray for him whenever God's
very good.
Plan is for him, that he figures it out.
And okay. I'd like to add Jackson Rickert to that prayer, too.
Add who?
Jackson Rickert.
Okay.
Yeah, some very...
So we got two to be added to it. Please be in prayer for them. Okay, any other prayer requests? Okay, people. And in 2019, wonderful challenges already, the youth camp, missionaries, internet, different things we got going on. We live in Satan's world, and therefore, it costs money. It's our opportunity, our pleasure, to be able to support the spreading of the gospel, teaching of the Word of God. So with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. And Father, we do thank you. We thank you so much that you've seen fit to use this humble assembly in so many different ways. We sit back, we're astounded how you use this assembly. And we pray, Father, now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will magnify a dollar into a thousand and use this assembly for the spreading of the gospel, teaching of the Word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Does anyone not have marriage, the stability of the individual? Anyone not have it? So we all have that. You need it. So let's get ourselves ready for our study this morning. The word of prayer, purpose of the prayer, trusting God who is a true teacher. Open up the word of God. He's made himself known here, but people, this is the most dangerous thing you'll do is open this book. Because you can read it from the flesh, you can read it in the power of the Spirit. Let's prepare ourselves for the study of the word of God by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. How grateful we are for the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes to the truth, to the understanding. So, Father, we pray you'll teach us this morning your word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we move now in Colossians chapter 3 to verses 18 and following. Marriage, the stability of the individual. The family, the stability of society. 3:18, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, we're going to have to examine why he starts with the woman. Let me just jump you ahead. If the woman doesn't, the man can't do what he's supposed to do. Secondly, verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Verse 20 begins the family. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Now, we saw in our New Year's Eve study how the United States and the world are going to see a greater chaos and unrest in 2019 and following. One of my concerns is that few pastors even know, understand what's going on in America and the world. Even fewer who even dare to teach on morality or biblically understanding why morality is important. Why the same-sex marriages is evil and detrimental to the freedom of America. It's not only sinful and wrong, it's detrimental to the stability of America. Why adultery, promiscuity are so detrimental to the freedom of a country. Colleges are not only not teaching the law, students or the law students, the Constitution of the United States, they're not teaching the fundamental reasons for morality. Why morality? Our educational system today does not teach the young people how to think. What to think. They teach them what to think, but not how to think. Now, in Colossians, we started in chapter 1. Paul has taught the importance of the church and the local church for the teaching of the Word of God and the importance of knowing the Word of God. The church is designed by God for the stability and spiritual growth of the individual believer. But now, in 3:18, Paul moves to the stability not only of believers, but stability of society itself. God cares about society. Because an orderly functioning society is the best environment for the spreading of the gospel. It makes it easier, more free. So this is what is going on. Now in 3:18, Paul moves to the stability, not only of individual believers, but the stability of society. This section on marriage and the family is under unbelievable attack by Satan, and I'll deal with that as we go through it, through the thinking of society. Same-sex marriage is not only an attack on morality, but it is a powerful attack against the institution of marriage and family in America. When we get to Colossians 3:18 and 19, we're going to study some things that some of you may not agree with, like the authority of the husband in marriage. So, an introduction to our study of marriage and family, we're going to look at RB Theme's doctrine on divine institutions. Now, when I was in high school, I went around to different high schools and started anti-communist clubs. I did a lot of reading and all this type of thing. But I will never forget when I first heard, when I walked into Baraka and he taught the laws of divine institution, I went, wow, that puts together so many things that I already knew and put them together where I could think through them and clearly understand them. So as we enter our study this morning, I thought we need to just go over the laws of divine institution. But you will note, you will see these things are from the Word of God that everyone in America in the world need to understand in order to guard and protect not only your marriage, but the freedom in this country. This is vital. Learning how to think. We don't know how to think. The psalmist in the Psalms and throughout the Old Testament, teach me, O Lord, teach me, O Lord, teach me that. And we've studied a lot of different words. Your ordinances, your commands, your law, your word. Teach me these things so that I can think. People, we have to learn how to think. That's why you have a relationship with the Lord, with God, and understanding the truth of who and what He is. Take math in school. I'm sorry that parents tell their children, oh, I don't like math. It's not important. People, the thing about math is that it teaches you to think. It's not a matter of learning 16 plus 16. It's a matter of learning to think logically. And because we're poor in that area, we have graduates who graduate not knowing how to think. So they have to be told how to think and what to think. But if you learn how to think, this is what Christians don't do. If we learn about God, you'll learn how to think about God. A works gospel does not line up with God. A works spirituality does not line up with God. That the church will go through the tribulation does not line up with God. You've got to understand God correctly from His Word. And the more we understand God, we're able to think correctly in regard to doctrines throughout the Word of God. So this is going to be our introductory step. So the importance of the doctrine of divine institution. Major point one, definition and description. A, God has ordained certain laws for the survival and freedom of the human race during the course of human history. This is believer and unbeliever, people. Anarchy exists when segments of a nation ignore these laws. The laws of divine establishment provide the freedom to fulfill the divine plan as ordained in the divine decrees under many types of government, any type of government really that recognizes a freedom. Marriage, family, growth. If you understand the laws of divine establishment, they are designed that the Christian can grow in the Word of God. B, the laws of divine establishment are designed and directed toward both believer and unbeliever. It's not a matter that morality is just for a believer. Morality is for all members of society. C, they operate from the fall of man to the second advent and in the millennium with some modification in compatibility with perfect environment that will exist in the millennium. So, from the fall of man to the second advent, structurally, the laws of divine establishment are laid out. D, these laws directly affect freedom, civilization, authority, evangelism, spiritual growth, perpetuation of the human race. They are as important to us as the law of gravity, since they are designed by God and vital to our spiritual growth. We will examine them. Now, E, The laws of divine establishment define freedom in terms of privacy, property, and authority. Few Americans understand how important property is. Property is identified to individual privacy, individual growth, what an individual has and doesn't have. We have moved to the point in American history where we have a communist who ran for president and didn't do that bad and already plans on running again. The Democrats are trying to cut down Sanders because he took some votes that they feel should have been theirs. But the point is, these things have now reached this point where we actually have people running that do not believe in property, private ownership of property. They believe that there should be no class. There be no class distinction. And we'll be studying these things as we go through. There is no such thing, continuing point E, there is no such thing as enjoyment of life or freedom without authority. All systems of freedom function under authority. Now, periodically through this, you'll see some parenthetical remarks. Most of these I put in. I put them in parentheses because we're basically studying R.B. Thieme's Doctrine of Divine Institution, Divine Establishment. But I wanted to add some comments to it. So here's one. This will be vital to our study in Colossians 3 of marriage and family. This was the genius of Thomas Jefferson in the words in our Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I will tell you now, I have documentation. He first wrote down life, liberty, and property. But he was talked out of property. And that's a shame. I wish he hadn't been talked out of it. Because it's very important. Life, liberty, and property. Just to give you an idea. A woman has a right to life, liberty, and property, even in marriage. She does not lose her life. And a husband does not have authority over the life of a woman. He does not have authority over the liberty of a woman. She can worship God however she sees fit. And she has authority over her own property before God. So these things are so vital in the way we think and understand about civilization. Now point F, both the privacy of the individual and the function of legitimate authority are necessary for the function of human freedom. G, therefore, four divine institutions are the basis of the laws of divine establishment: volition, marriage, the family, and nationalism. H, God also has designed laws for angels and nature. All these laws are designed to resolve the angelic conflict using an inferior creature, man. That brings us to two, establishment of divine institutions. First of all, volition. People, we have a disruption of the flow of Christian history from around 400 A.D., to 1517, when Martin Luther nailed the 96 theses on the church wall in Wittenberg, Germany. And right after he broke loose with how you're saved by grace through faith, which broke the Catholic Church teaching, immediately Satan knew he could not have that freedom. So he had Calvin come up with anti-volition, anti-free will, and came up with Calvinism to counter the free will, the volition of man. You cannot believe how important it is to a society, to an individual, to a Christian, to understand volitional responsibility. This is what every parent should teach their children. You will make decisions, and you're going to be responsible for those decisions you make. See? But with Calvinism and with a lack of ability to think, we don't teach this anymore. But let's take a look at the establishment of human volition, free will. One, the soul is prepared for us by God. It is the house for human life. The body is the house for the soul. The justice of God imputes human life to the soul, and human life resides in the soul forever. Parentheses, of both the believer and unbeliever. No one can remove human life from the soul. This is the doctrine of human security. Two, we have two sets of laws, establishment for everyone, and the code of every believer in Jesus Christ, under which we are required to function. With both functioning in the believer's life, he or she has the capacity for life, integrity, doctrine, to reach spiritual maturity. Now, as we go through these, I want you to understand we're learning about God, God's creation of man, why he created us the way he did, why he gave us volition, why he designed his laws of divine establishment, because he desires for all people to know him, and then he desires for all Christians to grow and to in maturity and to enjoy their life on earth as Christians. That's his desire, that no one be unsaved. And he has set up the laws of divine establishment to advance this. Point three, the soul is made up of self-consciousness, mentality, emotion, and volition, the authority of the soul. Four, human volition must have freedom and privacy for proper function. Human volition must have freedom and privacy for private or for proper function. A husband does not have the authority over the privacy of his wife. We're going to see these things in our study. He's in authority, but authority is within limits. And volition must have freedom and the privacy for proper function. Your soul has privacy, being hidden in the skull. We must have privacy if we are to exercise our volition. We must have privacy for freedom. Authority, privacy, we're building things necessary for freedom. These are the things you learn to think with. This study that we're doing right now, every potential lawyer should master, along with the Constitution, because it tells you how to think, how things ought to be in society, and why. Why we vote against same-sex marriage. Why it is against our Constitution. Why it is against our national stability and future. Got to understand these things. You can't just look at something without thinking. How does this fit into the whole system of our country? Point five, divine establishment provides freedom and function for those who do not violate criminal law. Criminals should have no freedom or privacy. They have forfeited their right of privacy. This principle applies to illegal immigrants. They do not have the same privileges as citizens. They shouldn't. Six, while people are not born equal or live in equality, they must have freedom of choice, the right to live in a free society, pursuing a course of action compatible with their own aspirations or lack of the same. You have a right to go as far as your abilities and motivations will take you. It's amazing. Some people have great ability, no motivation whatsoever. Some people have great motivation, but not much ability, but they exceed. They excel. They go further. See? Not because of their ability, because of their motivation. It takes both of these. Parents need to teach these things. No government has a right to destroy your pure motivation by telling you you are greater than you are, or by providing everything for you. We studied that in 2 Thessalonians 5. 7. Variations in human ability, both inherent and acquired, does not preclude freedom and freedom of decision in adult persons. You have the freedom, you should have the freedom. We're not created equal. We're created with equal opportunity. Point eight. All normal persons have the option of positive or negative volition of God consciousness. We studied this morning, God consciousness does not mean you know God. Just because a person has God, positive God, they don't know God. Now they're ready to know Him. I believe in His existence, now I want to know Him. So every person has the right of the option of positive or negative volition at God consciousness, plus the freedom to accept or reject Jesus Christ at gospel hearing. This is at the foundation of these divine institutions. Do you understand that? This is the foundation of God's establishment of divine institutions and the laws of divine establishment. The gospel. Being saved. And then added to that, growing in your Christian life. Nine, freedom. By the way, this is a family. I'm reading something. You want clarification or something about it? Please raise your hand. Let me know. Let's talk about it. All right, point nine. Freedom is the basis for true evangelism. It's the basis for true evangelism. People, some of my best evangelism was when I was in elementary school. We would have Christmas plays, Easter things, and kids would say, do you believe in this? What is this? And I'd tell them. I didn't think of it as some great Christian experience. I just was telling them what Christmas was, what Easter was about. See, can't do that anymore. We're not have these things. They're not allowed to have these things in school. They've taken away this freedom. Point 10, freedom of speech, which is lost in America, and worship are necessary for advancement to maturity. This is at the heart of the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. The freedom of religion. It's been abused, but it's very vital. Very, very, it's so important. Let me read to you. In 303, right after the beginning of Christianity, Emperor Diocletian slaughtered Christians, because they were Christians. In 1921, the Muslims slaughtered people who believed in Christians, people who believed in Christ. You can't imagine how vital that one amendment is. The freedom to worship God as we see fit, with no type of government coming in, you're wrong, you can't do this. In fact, today, I got it written down somewhere, it doesn't matter. In about 1782, an Anabaptist was martyred. You know why? He baptized adults who had been baptized when they were children. And because he baptized adults who wanted to be baptized, he was martyred. That's 1782. That's just 150 years ago. 20 years ago. So, that it is so vital. The amendments to our Constitution. Point 11. Freedom in society is the normal sphere of function for the volition of the soul. Please remember, this is our study of marriage, in our study of marriage and family. Point 12. Freedom cannot exist without privacy and authority. Therefore, the importance of establishment in human history. Exceptions exist, such as slavery in the Roman Empire, where a slave was free to come and go. It is possible to live under slavery, be evangelized, and advance to maturity. It's possible. Depends on the order of slavery. 13. Due to the importance of freedom, Satan attacked freedom establishment. This is in parentheses, I've added this, by Martin Luther in the Reformation, with the immediate satanic teaching of John Calvin, which takes away the freedom of volition and volitional responsibility in his teaching. But what I want you to see is, immediately Satan had to hit this. You can't believe how important volition is. that God has given to all of us. Every one of us have it. Now we go to B, getting ready for our study in Colossians. Marriage. One, monogamy, a permanent relationship between one man and one woman, is ordained of God to remind mankind that He has from the beginning a design in marriage. Passage is given. This is the heart of Satan's attack with same-sex marriage and cohabitating outside of marriage and prostitution, to destroy marriage. People, I can't tell you the importance of marriage and the family to the stability of a nation. It's unbelievable. It's historical. I'll come to that at the end of this morning. All right? Two, when Jesus Christ created Adam, He said, "Not good that man should live alone. Therefore, God provided the female." Jesus Christ constructed Adam's helpmate corresponding to him. This relationship established in the garden was continued after the fall. It has never been canceled in any generation. It is the most basic and fundamental organization in the human race. Parentheses, therefore, under great attack in America today, and it will get even stronger in 2019. Even the unbeliever, whose life is a total failure, can have great temporary happiness by marrying the right person. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Three, the analogy to the monogamous relationship and our relationship to Christ is found in Ephesians 5:26-33, which is an expansion of the two verses in Colossians 3:18-19. Four, under the authority of the laws of divine establishment, marriage relationship becomes the normal, should be the normal, legitimate expression of human love. Passage is given. Five, while male and female is the design of marriage, authority is the foundation of marriage. The husband has the authority, and there are no exceptions in rationalizations. Violations is a principle. Do not change the principle. For example, God continues to use the local church no matter how badly it fails. We cannot deny the principle of marriage just because we've made a bad marriage. And that's what happens to a lot of people. I'm going to become a homosexual or a lesbian because marrying the opposite sex was no good. It didn't satisfy me. Didn't please me. Didn't work. No good. I married a bum. I married, you know what, I married this. I married that. People, just because it doesn't work, you don't throw out the institution. It's like a lot of people. People, faith is the issue. Well, if I do what you say, if people would just sin and think they can get by with, no. No. Paul says, do we sin that grace abound? No. Does grace abound when we sin? Yes. Do we sin that it abounds? No. See? Point six. Marriage is one of the greatest areas of mistakes in life because of emotion and rebellion against authority. You have to be rational in initiation and response. In initiation from the man, response of the woman. You have to be rational. You have to think. You have to learn. We saw this morning in 9:15 class. People do not know God. But people marry someone, they don't know that person's character. They don't know what that person's about, but they marry him. And then when they find out, oh my God, what am I into now? I want out. You have to be trained by your parent. Think. Learn. Think about the essence of God. Think about the character of God. And this will lead you, when you think about marriage, learn to think about that woman, that man. Think about their character. Is this whom you want to spend the rest of your life with? Point seven. Marriage is the basis for stability in society and the formation of civilization. This is why it is under such attack today as part of the plot to bring America down. Abomination and immorality are the core of destroying marriages in America. Later on, I'll give you Joseph Stalin's steps for bringing down America. And in those steps is destroy the American home. Destroy the American marriage. He understood the stability that it gave Americans. And he wanted to bring it down. Point eight. Marriage rejects the theory of revolution, anarchy, promiscuous, or communal living. Sorry, Mormons. It is the protection for the home where the parents exercise authority over the children. That brings us to the third divine institution, the family. First volition, then marriage, and now the family. One, physical birth and imputation of human life, plus the imputation of Adam's original sin, finds the human baby both helpless and hopeless. Condemnation occurs immediately. Therefore, personal sins don't condemn us, and we are free to be imputed, and God is free to impute to us perfect righteousness along with Adam's original sin. When we believe in Christ, perfect righteousness is imputed to us, and we now have a purpose in life. The imputation of blessing to that perfect righteousness which glorifies God. This morning in the 9:15 class, to the degree that you do not know God and have a relationship with God, your soul does not have rest. When you find harmony with God, your soul will find rest in life. Okay, now, continuing. The imputation of the blessing to that divine righteousness which glorifies God. Now that we are believers, sanctified in Christ, the laws of divine establishment give us freedom to exercise our positive volition toward doctrine so that we can develop the capacity for the blessings which God gives. It's amazing how few Americans really enjoy the blessings that God has given us. We destroy it. We destroy it with sin. We destroy it by being occupied with it, obsessed with it, instead of enjoying it properly. Point two, God has provided certain divine laws, such as parents, to protect, care, nourish, provide, train, discipline the children to prepare them for life. I think if you could put down every one of those things to a man and a woman, they'd think twice about having children. Okay, you want to have children? Here's what you're going to have to do. Protect them. Care for them, nourish them, provide, train, discipline. Get them ready for life. Three, parental authority is the way of preparing children for normal life. Permissiveness destroys this. And there's so much permissiveness as actually taught that parents ought to be permissive in rearing children. Permissiveness destroys that child's capacity for life. There must be recognition of authority, orientation to certain principles in life, like morality, volitional responsibility. These things must be taught by the parent. These are not inherent to our flesh nature. Our flesh nature rebels against these things. And that's why, boom! See? That's why parents, if you're 15-year-old and you are just wonderful and they love you and you love them, something may be wrong. Not necessarily. They may be wonderful, you know, children, but there aren't very many of those. I remember when I used to go to the gym 4 or 5 days a week, I met a couple from Princeton, of all places, and they had just had a baby. And I thought, oh, take lots of pictures. And, oh, yeah, we take lots. I said, you know why? Oh, yeah. So we're always like, no. So that when they're 15 and you want to kill them, take those pictures out and look how much you love them. Remember that you do love them. And they looked at each other and went, boy, that's it. I don't know if they did or not, but it's been some time. But people, that's the responsibility of a parent, to protect the child, protect them from society, protect them from bad things. Drinking Clorox is not good. See? Drinking alcohol at a certain age is not good. Taking drugs illegally is not good. Got to protect you. Your body is sensitive. Your body is peculiar to God. Don't get involved in sexual activity. Don't get involved in drugs. Don't get involved in these things. Respect your body. Take care of it. God gave it to you to enjoy, to care for them, to nourish them physically, spiritually. Provide for them spiritually as well as physically. Train them. It's amazing how many parents think that's a job of the school. God help you if you do that. God help you if you think the schools are going to do those things for your children as unto the Lord. And discipline, teaching them about authority, respect for authority. Point three, parental authority is the way of preparing children for a normal, good life. Permissiveness destroys this. There must be recognition of authority, orientation to certain principles like morality and responsibility. Four, the highest expression of parental love is to teach through the forms of discipline. God does it. Read the Old Testament. God does it. Children must be trained to respect the privacy of others, their property. I love that home I grew up in. We could leave a quarter on our dresser, and my brothers and sisters would never touch it. I'm not bragging or anything, that was just part of what we were taught. Now, we may fight each other outside about something else unimportant, but you could leave water, leave this, leave that. But respect of property, privacy, is part of growing up. The property of others, the rights of others, not to abuse freedom, to have respect for authority. Think of this short list, how few of our young people are being taught and trained under these principles of freedom in the homes in America. Five, adjustment to life and orientation to circumstances demand authority training. Parents must teach poise, manners, objectivity, respect for police, patriotism, willingness to serve to protect the freedom of this country. People, think about manners. You ever notice? Manners don't draw attention to themselves, unless Leave It to Beaver's friend, Eddie. Eddie Haskell. Now, he would dramatize his good manners. But good manners don't do that. Bad manners shout. Just watch. Sometimes eating at a table, somebody holds a spoon or doesn't have good manners in how to eat or respect at a table. It shouts. Teach your children good manners. Of dress, poise, mouth, what they say, how they say it, how they dress, how they act. These are things that God has made parents for. Six, of course that means a parent must know them. Six, parents must also evangelize and provide doctrinal training for their children. Passage is given. Don't leave it up to the church. It's not only just the church's responsibility. You're giving them that joy. What a joy it must be to be a parent and to be able to teach your own little son, your own little daughter about Jesus Christ, about the Bible, about God. That to me has got to be the most rewarding thing. If I were a parent, then I'd have that privilege. Take that little mind, empty, and pour into it correct understanding of God, correct understanding of this book, correct understanding of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to be a parent to do that. Seven, it is the responsibility of the parent to instill respect for the Word of God, the teaching of Bible doctrine, plus recognition of the authority of the pastor. This is the spiritual responsibility over and above the establishment responsibility. Now, this next little thing I put in parentheses because I know it's true. Driving home. The man, the father, mother, the preacher was a bad today, didn't do this, redid that, and they run him down. Now, in the back seat, or your two or three kids, they hear you. Now, you'll go home. You'll forget all about that. Next time you go to church, doesn't matter. You're still going to learn. They remember that. Why do I have to respect this guy? Mom, Dad don't respect him. They think he's a bum. They think he's this. They think he's stupid. They think that. They think that. Why should I respect him? People, teaching respect means watch what you say. A little boy learns how to respect a little girl from how his father respects his mother. Not what he says to him. Not only teaches him you ought to be. He learns by watching. The little girl learns how to respond to a man watching her mother. Well, mom just runs all over him. Mom doesn't pay attention to what he says. Mom runs everything. That's what I'm going to do. It's amazing. You don't understand where they learn. They learn by watching. They learn day in and day out. By watching how you respond to your wife, you respond to your husband. They're learning. And that's how they plan on doing it. And their marriage. Now, what's interesting is they say, I hope I'm never like that. And that's exactly how they turn out. Exactly. Now, the last. Nationalism. First volition, then marriage, then family, and now nationalism. One, if the entire human race were under one rule prior to the millennium, it would self-destruct. Internationalism, today we know it as globalization, is viewed as being evil by the Word of God. Two, to perpetuate the human race, bring history to its logical conclusion, God has designed this institution to protect the freedom and rights of X number of people on this planet. We call this nationalism. Only one language should be recognized in a nation. Each nation has its own culture. Now, what is happening in America today with this immigration is the attack and the bringing down of the culture in America. Bringing down the culture. And that's what politicians, teachers, and the media desire to destroy America and make it globalization. Take away the culture. There are some people who are vehemently against this. They do not want to lose their culture. These are the people that the UN has to fight. That's why they've got to get rid of Americans. Americans who believe in the family, believe in marriage, believe in the state of Texas, or California, or Oklahoma, or wherever you're from. We've got to get rid of that kind of thinking. That doesn't lead to globalization. We've got to have multi-culture. That's what's desirable. And therefore you destroy a culture. See? Have multi-culture. And that's what's going on with the illegal immigration in America. Few people understand this. Few people know how to think about nationalism. Three, with the divine judgment of the original United Nations at the Tower of Babel, that's the original United Nations. The human race was then divided into nations. This division was originally based on racial, geographical, linguistical norms, which established the development of cultures. What happened was, when God confused the languages, I didn't understand you. Wait, hey, I understand what you're saying. So I go over to you, and you understand. And then, well, let's just take off. So he took off to China. Took off to South America, North America, and Africa, various places. God was forming the setup for cultures and nations, bringing down the first globalization of the Tower of Babel. That's what happened at that point. Point four. As the human race continued in history, true racial distinctions were obliterated in the rise of civilization. Thus, racial purity is a myth, a la Hitler. Except in primitive areas, race is used by politicians to create false issues. All you need to do is pull out the race card. Well, it's because I'm black, or it's because they're white, or it's because of this, or sex, it's because they're male, because they're female. See? Just bring out those two cards. False issues. Five, formation of the Jewish nation set up the perfect standard of what a national entity should be. And the first five books of the Mosaic Law, the Torah, set the structure on how a nation should be conducted. People, if we correctly have studied Deuteronomy, not to instill those things to remake Israel. Those are the foundation of how a nation ought to function. They're unbelievably powerful. And I highly recommend to you Charles Clough's Foundation Series, which is devoted primarily to the book of Deuteronomy in dealing with the structure of a nation. Six, the biblical proof that nationalism is authorized by God is found in Genesis 10:5, Deuteronomy 32:8, Acts 17:26-28. Seven, all nations who follow the norms and standards of divine establishment possess the following characteristics. A, interior protection of freedom through proper system of law enforcement. Jurisprudence, a system of law whereby a person is innocent until proven guilty. Only proper testimony is allowed. No hearsay is permitted. Double jeopardy, not exist. People, you just can't believe the judicial system in America. Does it have faults? Absolutely. Absolutely. You watch enough ID and enough of these kind of shows, yeah, that dirty rat got away with murder. See? Well, they got that one. But people, it's the best system on earth. Sharia law does not allow freedom that we enjoy in America. And there are communities in this country abandoning jurisprudence for Sharia law that does not allow human freedom. It's just amazing. We don't think. We're not taught to think in our educational system. B, the exterior protection of freedom through a strong, well-prepared military. Obama nearly devastated our military. It's just amazing. The more I learn of what he did to the military, and George Bush followed suit, it's just unbelievable. I met a policeman the other day in the filling station in Plano, and I just went up and thanked him for serving his community. And he came over, we started talking. And he said, where did you serve? And we talked about that. I said, I served in 3rd Armor Division in Germany. He said, you know there is no longer 3rd Armor. I said, no! Poor Patton! He said, yeah, there's no longer a 2nd Armor either. They've done away. He said, Obama started it. George Bush is president. Took out 2nd, 3rd, 4th Armor. There's just 1st Armor. And then I asked him an important question. He seemed to know what he's talking about. I said, well, let me ask you. Is this for the strength of America or the weakness? He said, oh, for the weakness. Absolutely the weakness of the country. And then we went on and talked about the military establishment. You can't believe how important it is. It is so important. So vital. Okay. Well, and the training is unbelievable. He taught me something that I haven't been able to verify on Google. I've tried. But Google, sometimes Google rambles. They don't answer a question. And I don't know if that's on purpose or not. But they don't answer a question. But he told me, I said, well, the Chinese have the greatest, strongest standing army in the world. He left to be instructed. He said, do you know they're not trained with live rounds of ammo? They're not trained with weapons. They're trained to be pro-communist, not to be soldiers. He said, they'll keep coming at you, and we'll keep mowing them down in a war, but they keep coming. But they're not trained. He said, we are the best trained soldiers in the world are right here in America. And I just accepted what he said. He seemed to know pretty much. I wish I'd have gotten his name so I could take him out to eat and learn more, talk to him more, invite him to church. But the military is so vital to our freedom. Vital. All right, I got to move on. Point C. A government of whatever category, which protects the freedoms and rights of its citizens without interfering those rights by the illegal use of power. D. An economy based on free enterprise and capitalism. Labor has no right to dictate the policy of management. Smart management always takes good care of its workers. Government, labor, or criminals do not have the right to superimpose their policy on management by a criminal mafia. The separation of business and state is essential to capitalism. Our government is very big on separation of church and state to the point of being evil, but not big on the separation of the government and business. C, or E, there must be a system of common law which prohibits crime and thereby protects the freedom, the rights, the life, the property of individuals. There must be a system of law which does not overstep the law by using the law to try to solve social problems. Law, therefore, must always be objective. Subjective distortion of the law uses legislation to invade individual rights, to steal personal property, to erode human freedom, all in the name of the common good. Do you hear what that Democrat yesterday said that she wanted to do in America? Tax the wealthy 80%. People, that is communism. That's the foundation of communism, socialism, and the fall of freedom. And Democrats go along with it. I didn't hear any real outrage even from Republicans. Not any real outrage. It's just amazing where we are in this area. F, there must be common culture which reflects the spiritual life, morality, the esprit de corps, nobility, patriotism, integrity of a nation through the literature, art, music. Huh. Art. Look at what they call art today. Listen to what some people call music today. And drama. Illegal immigration going on in America is destroying the American culture, which is exactly what the globalization leaders and the media of this country desire. Change the language, change the culture, you destroy the nation. G, there should be a system of government which functions under the power without abusing its power to destroy freedom and establishment. An administrative body to represent the function of taxation, law enforcement, honorable jurisprudence, maintenance of the military, enforcement of law and order without destruction of human freedom. All of this is designed by God so that people can hear and believe in the gospel. Let's close with a look at establishment and evangelism. None of these things would be meaningful without the principle that establishment is designed to evangelize where positive volition exists and to protect where negative volition exists. If you read history, it's just amazing. From almost the beginning, how the Roman Empire martyred Christians. These people martyred Christians. The religious people martyred one another. Martyred the Anabaptists. Martyred these. No freedom. God designed the laws of divine establishment for the proclamation of the gospel, so that everyone who desires to hear the gospel, believes in Jesus Christ, has the freedom and environment to do so. Those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ are protected. 2, a system of mutual authority which protects individual self-determination must be separation of church and state. 3, as long as government allows religious freedom, self-determination, such a government fulfills its establishment norms. Therefore, the separation of church and state becomes a basic standard of human freedom. Think about this. The entire ideology of Islam is that there is no separation of state and Islam. The thinking of separation of church and state is predominantly Christian. Think about it. Rome, the emperor, was God. Islam, Muhammad was head of the state. People, you've got to be able to separate those two. Muhammad was not only the religious head, but also the head of state. In none of the writings of Islam is there even a hint of freedom of religion from the state. Where Islam is the primary religion, Islam is the rule of politics, and Sharia law is the governing legal system. A jurisprudence that does not recognize freedom of individual rights and privileges. Throughout history, civilizations were the combination of state and religion. Both Roman emperors, pharaohs of Egypt, were claimed to be gods. Only Christianity ushered in the idea of separation of church and state to give citizens the free choice, believe in the gospel or not. It's Christian. Don't be ever ashamed you're a Christian. 4, divine institutions and the laws of divine establishment are designed to protect freedoms for the purpose of true evangelism, not false evangelism. 5, freedom to accept or reject Jesus Christ without pressure put on anyone. Unbelievers must be free to accept or reject the gospel without coercion or punishment. 6, the state must never adopt an official religion supported by taxpayers' money. All religion should be free from taxation and never be supported by taxes. 7, a person's relationship with God, or lack of it, should be a matter of privacy and personal choice. We'll deal with that in marriage. And finally, establishment and Christianity. Very brief. The establishment is found, Romans 13:1-7, by fulfilling your function as a believer, you do more for your country than anyone else. Jesus Christ clearly taught the separation of church and state in such passages as Matthew 22:21, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. Separation of church and state. Freedom. Peter, subordinate yourself to every human institution. And a clear study of Romans 13 shows the relationship between a Christian and the government he lives under. You became an establishment person the day you believed in Christ. Colossians 3:17, everything you do in the name of Jesus Christ. We're getting ready to go into a study of marriage and family, the stability of culture, which continues next Sunday, Colossians 3:18-25. I put in here just personal. I highly recommend, for those of you that are readers, the following books. If you know of any others that are vital to this important study, please let me know. These are just listed in alphabetical order. The first 22 pages of the book Witness. I still read it every few years. Awesome 22 pages of books of reading. Global Peace, Dave Hunt, and any book really by Dave Hunt. Understanding the Times, David Noble. Knowing God, J.I. Packer. The Victory of Reason. This book is unbelievable. The Victory of Reason, How Christianity Led to Freedom, Capitalism, and Western Success by Rodney Stark. I highly recommend these books if you are a reader. If you know of other books that you feel are vital in this study of thought, please let me know. Any questions? Let's close in a word of prayer. What kind of God are you? You not only care about our eternal existence, but our daily lives, that we have the joy of Christ each day in our lives, that our lives are in harmony with your plan, in our single life, our married life, family, and as citizens of this nation. What an awesome God you are, Father. We praise you. And it's our desire to study your word, to learn your plan, how we're to live in harmony with you, your ideas, who and what you are. that we might live in harmony with one another. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've said this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.